Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God uses unlikely people. God not only uses unlikely people, He uses unnecessary, ordinary people. Unlikely people, ordinary people, you know, just pedestrian type people. He uses unlikely, ordinary people to do extraordinary things.
The truth is, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young begins his message, Ordinary People, about how God has the power and the desire to do amazing things through your life. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you see God's grace at work through every moment of your life by sending you Dr. Young's three-message CD series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action. The fourth volume of Dr. Young's powerful Know the Bible series, Grace in Action, will help you discover how God's grace can infuse your life with power minute by minute. We'll send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, when you give your gift. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Ordinary People.
A few years back in the Air Force Academy, some cadets were lying in bed and reading, and one was reading the story, The Battle of the Bulge, the Second World War story, where the Army got bogged down and trying to take the land, particularly Hill 224. And in the story, a name kept coming up, William Crawford. William Crawford was sent out as a spy to see the strength of the Germans, and William Crawford came back and became heroic and saved dozens and dozens of lives. He was a vicious fighter and a wonderful hero as they conquered that hill at that strategic moment in the Second World War. And as this young cadet was reading it, he said, William Crawford. He said, isn't that the name of our janitor we call Pops? And the other cadet said, oh, no, no. A lot of people are named Crawford, William Crawford. It can't be the same person. And so the next morning when the janitor showed up, they greeted Pops and said, you know, we read this story about the Second World War, and there's someone with the same name. And that person, by the way, posthumously had received the Congressional Medal of Honor. Can you be that same person? And very modestly, the man said, yeah, but that was just one day of my life. And they said, well, tell us what happened. He said, well, in the midst of the battle, we retook the hill, and I was captured by the Germans, kept in concentration camp to the end of the war. Report came back that I was killed, and I received the Congressional Medal of Honor, and my father received it on behalf of myself posthumously because they thought I was dead. And they said, you never told that. He said, I was a career Army soldier. I retired as a master sergeant in 1967. And they said, you've been working here as our janitor? He said, oh, yes. And there reigned that year where Ronald Reagan was delivering the graduate address to the Air Force cadets as they graduated, and there reigned, for unknown to him, William Crawford to come forward and receive the Medal of Honor that he had never received personally from the President of the United States. The only person buried there at the Air Force Academy, outside of those who were in the Air Force, is one Army Sergeant, William Crawford, Congressional Medal of the Honor recipient. That story fits in with the story we're looking at today, the story of two spies that went behind the lines and how God amazingly used them in the conquest of the Promised Land. If you've been reading along with us as we have read through the Bible, we're on about page 377. Is that close? And we've gone through different eras. We've gone through the era of creation. We have gone through the eras that we have studied the Bible chronologically together. Creation, we moved on to Exodus, and now we're in conquest. Creation, era of patriarchs, era of Exodus, and now conquest, ready to move into the Promised Land. But in your reading, you're already ahead, and you're in the area of Judges. And you bumped into somebody named Boaz. Hold on to that name. We're going to meet him later on in our study. So in order for you to remember, say Boaz. Let's say it.
Boaz.
Remember that guy. Because we're going through a big, big, gigantic sweep of history. Are we not? We're seeing how God is using Israelites, the Jews, creating out of them a special people in which they are to look upon God as holy, and they are to communicate to the world, that one little nation, how God intends for everybody else to live. They were to be holy. They were to be different. They were to be set aside. They were to be uniquely blessed so they could take the truth about how to live to the rest of the world. I'm going to tell you something. Did you know that from Genesis to Revelation, one verse of the Bible is being verified? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to his purpose. Would you repeat that after me? All things work together for good.
All things work together for
good. To those who love the Lord.
To those who love the Lord.
To those who are called.
To those who are called.
According to his purpose.
According to his purpose.
That's what God wants us to see through the nation of Israel. Good, bad, indifferent, wonderful things, terrible things, tragic things. It's all working together for good to those who genuinely love God, those who are called, receive Christ, according to his purpose, are seeking to live out their lives the way God designed for life to be lived. Let me tell you something. Did you know that God knows more about you than you know about you? Did you realize that? Huh? Did you realize that God loves you more than you love yourself? Did you realize that? Did you know that God knows what is best for you more than you know that what is best for yourself? Do you understand that? You got that? Now, does anybody think they're wiser than God? God is wiser than you and wiser than I am. Therefore, we see that all things are working together for good, for His glory, to those who love Him, and those who are called received His way of life according to His purpose. That was the message that the nation of Israel was to carry to the rest of the world. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that right over the middle of the plate? You know, Paul says in 2 Timothy, an interesting little verse, he says, those who are always hearing and never come to a knowledge of God. What does that mean? It means a lot of us sort of stick around in church. We come and go. We're up and down, and we're always hearing, but we never live it. We never put that hearing, that knowledge to God into our lives. And therefore, we're wondering why we're up, we're down, why we're depressed, why we're... Let me tell you something. God wants every one of us to have a life that's filled with pleasure, a life that's filled with happiness, a life that is filled with joy. But in the process, there is that growth factor. In the Garden of Eden, there was not a little sign that read, no snakes in the grass are allowed. Therefore, we are to understand that in life, that God is working out His divine formula for all of us, and we want to get in on that and live that kind of life. That's what how God wants us all to live. What's it going to take to awaken somebody? A bolt of lightning? Is it going to take you inherit $50 billion or you lose everything you got or you're terminally ill? What does God have to use in anybody's life, your life and my life, for us not to just keep hearing without beginning to live it out? Now we see in this big stroke of history, we've been reading the Bible, we get overwhelmed with it. And we see how God's working the lives of nations, tribes, families, cultures, cities, individuals. And so we're caught up in this whole magnificent story of salvation history. That's the Bible trying to teach all of us that basic verse in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to His purpose. Not that all things work together for good to anybody and everybody. It's those who love the Lord and those who are called according to His purpose. And that's what He tried to teach in a zillion different ways to all the Jews, so they would be the standard and the mark of salvation to all the rest of the world, which in the Bible are called Gentiles. Okay, we go to Joshua, chapter number 1. The era of conquest is beginning. And now we see in Joshua chapter 1 a big picture. They're crying out for the need of strength and courage. And in that chapter, God says, you are going to have strength and courage. They asked for it 4 times because the Lord your God is with you. Anybody need strength and courage? Oh, yeah. Listen, the Lord your God is with you. That's all you need. He supplies more strength and more courage than anyone's ever needed. If the Lord is with you, you say, God says, I am with you. Okay. What else do you need? Can you name any? Oh, I would. Oh, no, no, no. If the Lord is with you, you don't need anything else. That's it. That's it for everything in life as God works through our lives, as He builds His right stuff within us. Now, as we have this gigantic, overwhelming picture of God, we realize God isn't a fast food religion. He doesn't microwave us. We see this through thousands of years of history, the great infinite patience of a loving God who is working out His affairs in the history of the world. Now we come to chapter 2 of the book of Joshua, and boy, it just brings it right home. We see that God is interested not only in nations, but in individuals. And we run into something that's sort of shocking at first. We're going to discover three things in this chapter. Preview. Number one, God uses unlikely people. Number two, God not only uses unlikely people, He uses unnecessary, ordinary people. Unlikely people, ordinary people, you know, just pedestrian type people. He uses unlikely, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Watch how this works in Joshua chapter number 2. It is breathtaking. It's a spy story, if you like spy stories, right in the middle of the powerful revelation of God. Joshua chapter number 2, look at it. First of all, we see how he uses unlikely people. So they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Joshua sent out 2 spies to spy out the land before they went in their conquest. And these 2 spies were to determine the strength of Jericho. Jericho was right in their sights. Why Jericho? Jericho was about 7 miles the other side of the Jordan, and it was the opening that would absolutely split Israel into 2 parts, the northern part and the southern part, because Israel then was controlled by a lot of city-states. And they had these little city-states. Everyone had their king and their army and their government. And that's how all of Israel operated. So Joshua saw they had to take Jericho. It would split Israel in half. So these city-states would not unite and do battle against Israel. And so he sent out 2 spies to look at the land, to see the landscape and how they would do battle. And they sent them to Jericho. And there in Jericho, did you read what I said? And they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab. Rahab ran the best little chicken farm in Jericho. Yeah. Talk about an unlikely person. My, 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 how unlikely can you get? Anthropologists, archaeologists who studied Jericho and these other city-states said that sexually transmitted diseases were rampant. There was all kind of perversion going on. You read the Bible, we have the idea that all the confusion in the area of sexuality that we read that absolutely staggers us, it's nothing new. I read this week something that's sort of unusual. In Nebraska, a 61-year-old woman gave birth using her gay son's seed and his male partner's sister's egg. Say it again. A 61-year-old woman gave birth using her gay son's seed and his male partner's sister's egg, and you try to figure out the relationships, you realize a grandmother gave birth to her own granddaughter. And the other relationships in this are equally as confusing. We live in into a world which we hear a lot about, the BGC. The gay, the lesbians, transvestites, queers, all the different relationships there, and we wonder, we sit back and say, how in the world do we relate? And you can relate by condoning and forget the biblical ethics. You can relate by condemning, forgetting the teaching of the Bible. How do we relate to all these different groups that have multiplicity of different things? We relate the way the Bible teaches us. We relate in the basis of love and grace. We present Jesus Christ as God's Son, as the answer to life, as the answer to new life. And we do not let anyone think the Bible is a book of hatred, is a book of viciousness, it's a book of condemnation. And those outside the church, they look upon the church like this, and they should look upon the church as a loving, accepting community without compromising biblical, ethical, moral ethics. Let me put it like this. A person who is physically starving to death eats food that is unhealthy. A person who is emotionally starving to death enters sometimes into relationships that are unhealthy. And therefore, we in the church, we are to be receptive and understand that when Jesus Christ comes into a life, Jesus Christ can take any life, anytime, anywhere, anytime, in any situation, even a harlot in Jericho and anybody else, and give them new life and cleanliness. And they move from shame and guilt and condemnation and questions and restlessness to a redeemed life. And we in the church have to have open arms and say, we love you, we understand, and we want to see you come to new life and to a new thrust in your life.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And after he had sent the multitudes away, Jesus went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Matthew 14:23. When I was a boy, we had an old radio that had been in the family for a long time. On occasion, the static would come on that radio, and my dad would just smack the side of the radio to make the static go away, and it usually did. Could it be that when storms or difficulties come into our lives, that God is just slapping us on the side of the head to say, I want you to slow down and get quiet just for a moment, because I have something to say, and you're so filled with static, you can't hear me speak. Build a little silence into your life today. Go outside with a cup of coffee, or step outside at night and just breathe in some night air. Solitude is a rare commodity, but how you and I need it in our daily lifestyle.
We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we'd love to help you further by sending you Dr. Young's series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift of support. This three-message resource invites you to experience God's grace at work through every moment of your life, even the messy ones. Struggling with doubt? God gives grace to believe. Feeling worthless and unseen? He gives grace to thrive in your spiritual gifting. Burdened for others? He gives grace to share his good news with boldness. Drawn from the New Testament examples of Thomas, Stephen, and Timothy, this series will encourage you that no matter how messy or mundane life gets, God is there with you, for you, giving grace for what you need. So call now to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young closes out his message with more proven truth on how your messy past won't get in the way of God's purposes for your future.